KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. The U.S. Coast Guard released a report to Congress this week on the feasibility of establishing an Arctic deep draft seaport. The document says that the U.S. does not have the infrastructure to support projected increases in Arctic traffic or to mitigate risks that could accompany increased activity. The report says an Arctic port would promote U.S. interests by serving as a staging location for military, government, commercial, and scientific operations. In particular, the port could serve as a hub for resource extraction activities and a base for incident and accident response. The report identifies Nomen Port Clarence as optimal locations for constructing this Arctic seaport. Both sites are less than 100 miles from the Bering Strait, with Port Clarence containing naturally deep water and Nome with existing infrastructure. The report says both are in close proximity to natural resources. The 8-page report does not supply details on how or when the seaport would be established or funded, only that construction would take 10 to 20 years. The document acknowledges that building a port in Arctic rural Alaska would cost more than similar projects elsewhere in the U.S. The study recognizes the commercial purposes of the port remain unknown, and the extent that the port would be used remains unclear. The report states that the federal and state governments must work with native tribal entities to ensure that shipping and other commercial activities are pursued in ways that are compatible with traditional indigenous life. The document was issued to fulfill a congressional mandate requirement included in the 2012 Coast Guard and Maritime Transportation Act. In response to an oil spill in Kotzebue, the U.S. Coast Guard says they've set up a unified command with the Alaska Department of Conservation and the Kikikdalruk Inupiat Corporation. Up to 900 gallons of heating oil spilled from an oil tank hooked up to an apartment building in Kotzebue. According to the DEC, the spill was discovered Monday morning when the 1,000-gallon tank was found empty. Recent warm temperatures may have led to the spill. The DEC says above-freezing temperatures in mid-January caused water to enter an out-of-service fuel supply line for a garage heater. And when the temperatures dropped back down, water froze and expanded, causing a break in the line. The U.S. Senate is considering two international treaties that Senator Lisa Murkowski says would help crack down on pirate fishing in the North Pacific. Murkowski told the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee yesterday that illegal high seas fishing is an economic threat to the crab industry. The senator says it lowers the market price, costing legitimate harvesters more than $500 million since the year 2000.
As recently as 2011, NOAA law enforcement seized 112 metric tons of illegally harvested Russian king crab that was being shipped to U.S. markets through the Port of Seattle.
Murkowski says the illegal crab catch has also deprived Alaska of millions of dollars in landing fees. One of the treaties aims to require countries to better police their ports to keep pirate shipping vessels from unloading. The senator has a special interest in the Bering Sea crab fishery, made famous by the Deadliest Catch TV show. Murkowski says her son just finished a season working as a crab fisherman.
He's headed back home, and he's probably going to have some Bering Sea crab stories that I'm not sure that his mother is really ready to hear yet, but I'm bracing myself.
Both treaties had broad support at yesterday's Senate hearing. Donald Ally of Shaktulik has been selected as a 2014 Spirit of Youth Award recipient for his bravery and quick response during ocean emergencies. Ally is an experienced fisherman. On two occasions, the 18-year-old has responded to distress calls from other boats, once instructing the passengers to put on life vests before their vessel capsized, where he later pulled them to shore. During the big storm last fall, the community went into emergency mode, and Steve Sammons, the principal at Shaktulik School, said Ally played a big part in the safety efforts, saying he stayed up late and helped watch both the ocean and the riverside that almost flooded the community. Ally brought elders to the school and helped families with their personal belongings. Ally will be honored with the other winners at the Spirit of Youth Awards dinner Saturday, April 5th at the Anchorage Marriott downtown. He was chosen from more than 150 statewide nominations by the Spirit of Youth Teen Advisory Council. Alaska could soon have a human breast milk bank. The milk bank would operate under the Alaska Blood Bank and supply the state with donor milk. The blood bank has submitted a proposal to their board and is awaiting a decision. Across the U.S., 13 milk banks supply all 50 states with donor milk. And Dr. Norman Maines, chief medical officer for the Alaska Blood Bank, says supply is not meeting demand. Maines says the nation requires 9.5 million ounces of milk per year. Current supplies reach one-third of that need.
So as you can see, there's a big gap in what the need is and what's available.
Kim Updegrove, president of the Human Milk Banking Association of North America, says with stocks limited, donor milk is gatekept for level 3 neonatal intensive care infants. The American Academy of Pediatrics standard of care for these NICU patients, preterm babies weighing 1,500 grams or less, is a breast milk-only diet. To achieve this standard, hospitals rely on donor milk. Reason being, mothers of these infants having not undergone a third trimester, often have not developed the mammary tissue to feed their child. Alaska's only level 3 NICU is in Providence Hospital in Anchorage. Providence sources the majority of its donor milk from Colorado, about 700 ounces per week. All this milk ships overnight over dry ice. The distance plus shipping regulations plus the milk itself cost Providence about $4,200 weekly. A milk bank in Alaska would not only cut shipping costs, but also increase the state's milk security and bolster national supplies of what Updegrove calls a scarce resource.
The Alaskan NICUs are getting that milk from other states, so they're feeding human milk to their babies, which is great, but they're missing out on the opportunity to say to the Alaskans, you can take care of the babies born in this state, and your milk is optimal for your baby and life-saving for preterm babies.
If the proposal passes, it will be the first combined blood and milk bank in the country. Dr. Mean says the merging makes sense. Both banks require similar operations, and the consolidation reduces redundancies in infrastructure and staffing. And the proposal, Mean says, has already received widespread support, often unsolicited, from the medical community, state and local governments, and mothers.
Everywhere we turn, we have the support of anybody who's involved in the care of mothers and babies.
The bank is waiting on the board's decision. The blood bank should break ground on a new building in May, and the facility includes space for a milk center. Mean says after receiving approval, the milk bank could begin operating in 6 months optimistically and definitely within a year. The price of gold in New York is up $6.80 an ounce to $1,299.60. An ounce of silver up 15 cents to $20.49. It's unofficially 12 below zero at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.